So I'm curious, now that summer is winding down and we are getting ready for football to start, what is your favorite outside summer activity that you partake in specifically, not sports watching related, something that you do specifically?
Oh, that's so hard. Because most of my summertime activity is going to baseball games. It can't be any sport.
No, it can be a sport. It just has to be something you participate in.
I'm a little ashamed to say it, but I have caught the pickleball bug.
Oh.
I feel like it's so just like, of course you have. You're a millennial and what all this stupid stuff. And
I feel like out of the three of us, I would assume that that would be Alex. That Alex would be the pickleball player.
It's fun. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. Like,
I'm not mad at you about it. I'm not mad.
You can break a sweat.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel kind of like this is more what I'm focusing on. Every male has like an internal desire to do something incredible athletically.
Like, and pickleball gives you the opportunity to feel as though you did that.
Correct. Yes. Because like, I do play in a summer hardball league, but I'm still I play a good outfield. I still am very inconsistent hitter. Mm-hmm. But pickleball, it's like if you just place it right, you feel so sick.
But I love it. You can feel saucy. You can feel saucy with it.
Nice. You got the sauce, dog. Mm-hmm.
Mine is for
what
sure.
What about you?
Mine's for sure golf. I'm an older millennial, and I feel like that is the thing that gives it away. The fact that mine is golf and yours is pickleball. It just shows the age gap.
Like, I'll do both. Like, I just recently got some clubs.
Nice.
But again, not good at golf.
Yeah.
But getting better at pickleball.
Love. I love it. Well, folks, we are not here to talk about pickleball. We are here to talk about Big Ten football. And quite honestly, with the season being, I mean, technically week zero, we're recording this on Saturday. Week zero is just 1 week away. No Big Ten teams play, if I'm not mistaken, week zero. We do get a pretty decent game, though, in Florida State, Georgia Tech, which is only an 11.5-point spread, which I was kind of surprised about. But I wanted to ask you a question that doesn't relate specifically to the Big Ten, but I think it does offer up a unique opportunity for the Big Ten to possibly play this team. I wanted to ask you, because I have a team in mind for myself, who is your favorite? Because there is going to be a group of five team that makes it into the playoff. Who is your favorite as of right now? Who do you think is going to be that group of five team?
Well, first off, number one, welcome to Big Banter, everybody. You absolutely heathen of a man. We forgot to, you know, thank the listeners. We've been holding them on this cliffhanger. It's like we came back. We recorded an episode for the people, and then we went and vanished again. We're not going anywhere. No. We're just out busy doing our summer events, playing pickleball, playing golf,
exactly.
Having children. Not me, but the other two in this podcasting world. So first off, thank you so much for listening, because you're all beautiful, beautiful people. More beautiful than you.
I do agree. Oh, yeah. No doubt about that.
Way more. Hot people listen to the Big Banter. That's for sure.
Only the hottest.
Only the hottest. Number two. I mean, I did give this some thought today, and I was just looking through a couple different schedules. This isn't a trendy pick by any means, but it's more so a pick of like, if they take care of business, they have to be. It's Liberty. it's Liberty. They're returning their two best players on offense, in Caden Salter, and then I think it's Quinton. I can't remember his name right now, but they're starting running back. And Salter, I like dark horse. Like for a Heisman Trophy, maybe. Like I'm thinking like Paxton Lynch, or not Paxton Lynch, Jordan Lynch from Northern Illinois, from the MAC from like 30 years ago, it seems. But Ethan, this is Liberty's schedule, okay? Campbell, New Mexico State, UTEP, East Carolina, App State on the road. It's Campbell at home, New Mexico State on the road, UTEP at home, East Carolina at home, App State on the road. That's probably their toughest game of the year. FIU at home. They go to Kennesaw State. They play Jackson State. They go to Middle Tennessee. They go to UMass, Western Kentucky, November 23rd. And then they close out the year at Sam Houston State. As the team that ran the table last year in the Conference USA and then made it to the New Year's Six Bowl, the schedule is poop. But Liberty has the distinct advantage of having talented players, and the benefit of the doubt that, like, hey, we know Liberty's a good football school, at least in the Conference USA world. If they go undefeated, no question Liberty's in there.
I agree with you to a point. And I do believe that Liberty is the favorite to do it out of the group of five. However, I'm going in a different direction. My pick is Boise State, and Boise State has the opportunity with their schedule, with what their schedule provides, to make a statement. And listen, the number one recruit in the country from just 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, quarterback that decided to go to USC, is how he ended up at Boise, I don't know, but he's at Boise State now. I just think that's a team that is going to have some offensive firepower. And I believe early on in the season, they play Notre Dame. And oh my goodness, could you imagine if they win that game? Like, I think Boise State, if they go 11-1 and Liberty goes undefeated, I think there is a huge argument to be made that Boise should still get in over them.
Do you want to know their schedule?
Please.
Boise travels to Georgia Southern, first game of the year. Then they travel to Oregon.
Oregon. Their
second game of the
year. That's who it is. Not Notre Dame. It's Oregon. I apologize. I knew it was a green team.
All good. Portland State at home. Washington State at home. Utah State at home. Then they travel to Hawaii. Watch out for the Rainbow Warriors. That's what they all say. Boise State at UNLV, then they have San Diego State at home, Nevada at home, San Jose State on the road, Wyoming on the road late in November. Laramie is a tough place to play, especially late in November, and then they close the year with Oregon State at home with that Pac-2 or Pac-12 partnership.
Okay, but see, I'm telling you, right there, you listing off that schedule, try and convince me that if they go 11-1 with a loss to Oregon, that they still don't have a better resume than an undefeated Liberty with that schedule.
I can get on board with you for sure. I do still think at the end of the day, it's if Liberty loses any game throughout that season, they're done. They have no shot.
100%.
Absolutely no shot. And for the committee, we're talking about the expansion, right? And the whole the whole point of the expansion was, okay, an undefeated Florida State with a hurt quarterback didn't get into the playoff last year. What's the solution to that? Mm-hmm. Let's expand the playoff and then have more opportunities for those undefeated teams to get. It's a different circumstance. Florida State played an ACC schedule, which is way tougher than Conference USA. Yeah. That's not what I'm trying to say. But the premise of why the playoff expanded was if there is an undefeated team within the realm of reason, they're getting in this thing.
And if Liberty goes undefeated, I think there's no question. I don't care what the resume is. Now, if it's Boise State's undefeated resume versus Liberty's undefeated resume, okay, then we can have the discussion based off of literally going to the number three team in the country and beating them in their building. That's
I want to hear your thoughts. That's crazy. I want to hear your thoughts on this because it kind of leads right into it, because I do agree with you. I think if they do go undefeated, it will be very hard to keep them out. Let's distribute the playoff games by conference. I'm going to go ahead and make a statement right now. You are going to have, at minimum, from the Big Ten and the SEC, minimum of 7 schools that go to the playoff.
7?
Minimum. It will most likely be 8. And hear me out. This is why I'm saying that. You are going to get, you could get 4-4. So there's 8 spots right there from the Big Ten and from the SEC. The ACC gets a team in. The Big 12 gets a team in. We're up to 10. One of those conferences could get 2 teams in, I suppose. And then you have your at-large bid for the group of 5.
Are you forgetting about Notre Dame?
I suppose.
Because if Notre Dame finishes with 1 loss, I think they get in.
I suppose I am, but that could be, make it 7 instead of 8 for SEC Big Ten.
Because Notre Dame.
Yeah, they play nobody. We've been over it. They do actually They play Louisville. They play
Texas A&M on the road.
They're going to lose that game. They're going to lose that game.
Okay.
Mark my words.
Then they play Northern Illinois at home. They go to Purdue and play, which you never know, but that's a 3:30 kick, so it's fine.
I say boiler, you say up. Boiler.
Boy, up. I want to go to that game. They play Miami of Ohio at home. They play Louisville at home. They play Stanford at home. They go to Georgia Tech. They go to
I wish that Louisville game was on the road so badly.
Well, Florida State comes in to South Bend. That'll be a fun game. Mm-hmm. Virginia at home. They go to Army, and then they go to USC. That's interesting. They play Army and Navy both on the road. But
They lose 3 games,
they're out.
Yeah, yeah, they're 100%.
They can lose 2.
They don't get a conference championship.
No, they don't. But they get you get your SEC school in there. You get arguably the top dog in the ACC, but you get them at home, and then you get a ranked USC at least to start the year on the road as your final game. So 3, if you want to count Purdue as a rivalry, 3 rivalry games.
Yeah,
for Notre Dame.
I'm just saying. And we're belaboring the point, but I'm just saying I do think there is a world where the SEC and the Big Ten, they get where
at least 7.
Where they get at least I'm calling it that they are getting 7, possibility to get 8.
Who are the 7?
I mean, it's you're going to have to mix and match because there are definitely 8 teams at least that you could pick from,
sure,
if not more. I mean, you look at, okay, let's just start with the Big Ten. Start up top with Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan, Penn State, right?
Those four. All of them get in.
No. I'm giving you the teams that in this scenario could do that. So you have those 4 teams from the Big Ten, which they don't all enter cross and play each other, so possible if they win their other games and just split the kind of the games that they do play against each other. And then in the SEC, you look at Bama, Georgia, Texas, and then take your pick from LSU, Texas A&M, I think Missouri's getting into the playoff. Ole Miss.
Ole Miss with Jackson Dart. This is their best chance in a while.
I think Missouri's the second best team in the conference, but that's a topic for another day.
Hot take.
I don't know if it really is. I think Georgia's the best team in the country. I think Missouri's the second best team in that conference. Look at what they returned. They lost nobody from that team last year.
And they were really, really good. They just needed a couple bounces to go their way.
Mm-hmm.
I want to look at Missouri's. This is us just looking at schedules. This is what this episode is all going to be about today, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, Murray State at home, Buffalo at home, Boston College at home, Vanderbilt at home. They go to A&M. They go to UMass. What the heck? Auburn at home, at Alabama. Oklahoma at home. They go to South Carolina, Mississippi State on the road, and then they close the year at Arkansas. So they avoid Georgia,
but they play Alabama.
You didn't hear Texas. They play Alabama on the road.
I didn't hear Georgia. Did I hear Georgia?
No, just I said they avoided Georgia.
So they avoid Georgia, they avoid Texas, they avoid LSU, and they avoid Ole Miss?
That is correct.
That team's going to the playoff. They're winning 11 games. They're going to the playoff.
Okay, where are the 11? Murray, Buffalo, Boston, Vandy. They go to A&M and win?
Sure. They're a better team.
UMass, they'll win that game. Auburn, you should win that game. Lose to Alabama. Oklahoma at home. Do they win that game?
Yes.
Missouri, South Carolina. They go to South Carolina.
Yeah, win.
Mississippi State on the road and then close out the year. Arkansas at home.
So it's really going to be a fairly easy ride to the playoff as far as I'm concerned for Missouri. So put them in there as one of the four. I think they do have a better chance of getting four teams in. I think they are the stronger conference as far as title contenders go this year, just by quantity. Maybe not necessarily quality, because I do think, how do I say this? I think that the Big Ten with Ohio State, Oregon, you have, I'm going to refrain from including Michigan and Penn State in there. I'm not even going to lump them in because people will get upset. You look at Ohio State, Oregon, I think they combined have a better chance of winning the Natty than if you were to take Georgia and Texas. And that's just me personally. And I'm not all that into Oregon. We discussed that on the last episode. But I very much like the chances that the Big Ten has after getting into the playoff. Man, it's going to be so fun to watch. The 12 team, it's going to be so fun to watch, especially this first year. Maybe the luster wears off after this. But this year, I'm really excited for it.
It's the perfect storm, and I hate to bring up the video game again, but really, I mean, you want to talk about perfect marketing for the college football play. We are playing the expanded playoff before we see it play out in the real world, right? Everybody who's been playing Dynasty has been well attuned to what the new playoff format looks like.
Not that this was orchestrated by the NCAA or something like that, but
correct.
To have a video game come out the year that something this drastic changes, and oh, by the way, it's the first time in 11 years that they've come out with one.
Correct.
It does feel a little bit like a very, very happy accident.
I would agree. And I mean, but like that plays into it. It builds to the storm that everything is happening, right? You would have to think that the excitement that's building is started because a bunch of
old washed up millennials are playing this video game on their couch.
I don't
talk about you... talk about summer activities. That this has been my summer activity. I've played Dynasty mode for way longer than I should have.
So I want to ask you a quick question because we're on the topic of the game and we seem to talk about it every single week. Do you think that College Football 25, for how big of a game it is, okay, let me put that prerequisite in there. For a game of this magnitude, do you think it might have the oldest average player base of a game that size ever?
Yeah, I think so. Because, like, even, like, with all, like, of, like, revamps or, like, reissues or reboots of games, this, you, it would be up there. It'd be up there for sure. It's at least top five.
Yeah, because of, and I'm talking about a game that's like, when it comes out, it's a best seller type thing, like a game like that. Anyway, I digress. So I do think that there is a very good chance that there are 8 teams that make it from the SEC and the Big Ten combined. A lot of that has to do with non-mingling of those top teams in those conferences, even though, I mean, Oregon has to play, Oregon plays Michigan. They play USC, which...
They play Ohio State.
Or I'm sorry, I just said USC, meaning Ohio State. I just got one of the new teams mixed up with one of our old teams. Look at me. It's like a new child.
That's okay because there's 30 teams in the Big Ten now.
Yeah, true. So they play Michigan, they play Ohio State. So that, you know, that's a tough one. But I think that there's a very good chance that those two conferences get 8 teams in. And then you see a sprinkling from the outside, you know, and whether that means that if Notre Dame does get in, they take the spot of a second Big 12 team or something along those lines, or maybe even a second ACC team. The ACC isn't exactly a juggernaut. So,
but what about, I mean, inevitably, when the Big 12 gets their teams that are good, they'll surprise somebody, they'll upset an SEC school in the non-con, whatever it is. The conference that always looks great, but then picks itself apart. Because what? The favorite right now is Utah, right? I guess the premise of this conversation is every conference could send at least 2 teams, correct? ACC, slam dunk, Clemson, and Florida State. Big 12, Utah, and Kansas State. They've got 2 Heisman Trophy candidates playing at quarterback.
I don't love K-State this year. Different topic for a different show. I'm not in love with K-State, and I've got some reasonings behind that. They're normally a team that's very good in the trenches, and they lost a lot in the trenches this past season. So anyways, I digress. Continue.
The point is, I think every conference is sitting there, or at least the Power Four is sitting there thinking, we can send at least 2 teams. And it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. I mean, Arizona, do they have a chance? People like the noise that they're making.
Arizona's like a good team. Arizona's not a great team, but a good team. Yeah.
Freaking Kansas is what, I mean, I don't think they're going to make the playoff, but I wouldn't that be absolutely insane?
Yeah.
Kansas State making the college football for the very first 12 team. But I think is it safe to say that there's more talent in the Big 12 right now than the ACC? And that's and the thing is that going to hurt them in the long run as far as it goes with conference bids?
Right. Well, so I think this leads well into our next segment because I think you make a lot of really good points. There's going to be so much that gets clarified in the last 3 weekends of this season. If you look at the schedule, Somebody did a rating scale, and I retweeted it on my personal Twitter. I should have done it on the Big Show Twitter as well. I will try to do that. But he power ranked the weeks of the season for college football, and it is fantastic. And you need to look at it. The last three I've weeks, seen it. Yeah, the last 3 weeks are going to settle a lot for the college football playoff and the landscape. A lot of questions are going to get answered. Not every single one, but a lot. So this leads well into our next segment, which is Big Ten centric. Who is
what? We're what? Big Ten?
Big Ten? I know. Who is your biggest bust team in the Big Ten? And who is your biggest boom? So your biggest bust and your biggest boom for this year in the Big Ten, a team that's going to go way under their number for win total, and a team that might surprise and maybe, perchance, have a shot late in the season at a 12-team college football bowl, or bid. College football playoff bid.
Interesting.
Give me your bust first. Give me your bust.
Well, like, okay, give me more parameters on the bust. Like,
they go.
Just my opinion.
Yeah. Say their win total. You know, we did the win totals already. Say their win total is 6.5, but you think they're only going to win 3. You know, biggest disappointment. Biggest disappointing team.
Can Illinois be my biggest disappointing team? I have no faith in that.
Yeah.
I have zero faith in Illinois. I've said that like 6 episodes. I was on the Bielema train for sure. He had his best team and he gave Michigan their best shot, and I think they topped out at 9 wins that year. And then they just were putrid last year. If they don't turn something around this year, then, I mean, it's safe to say, will they ever? Their number, I think, was 5.5. And I think looking at that even more, I got the schedule. So they got Eastern, Kansas, that's a loss. Central at home. They'll win that game. They go to Nebraska. That's a loss. They go to Happy Valley. That's a loss. Purdue at home is a losable game. Michigan coming into Illinois, I think that's a loss. They go to Oregon. I mean, are you kidding
Their me? Schedule is disgusting.
They're a crappy team, and they have a brutal schedule. And that's just the first half of the schedule. Minnesota at home, losable game. Michigan State, toilet bowl. But then they go to Rutgers and to Northwestern, and that game is going to be played like on Lake Michigan in the last week of
December. Yeah, and you know what? I don't think Michigan State's a team. I think if you're going to play Michigan State this year, you want to do it earlier in the season. I think later in the season, you're going to get the best version of that team. More cohesion with all the new. I could definitely see that. I could see Illinois being a 3-win football team. I agree with you.
At looking at the schedule, Eastern Illinois is a win. Central Michigan is a win. Those are the only two games. Okay, maybe Northwestern, but I'm not going to say I'm not going to say a road game is a for sure victory.
We're not giving. Northwestern was a good team last year,
right? And I seem to
completely those are two forgot. Programs. Those are two programs that feel like they are headed in opposite directions.
Yeah, so mixed in with Illinois, I think Daniels is going to have a field day. That might be a Heisman breakout. Put him in the conversation some more. Just brutal schedule. I don't like their direction. I think they're a bust team. And as far as boom.
Well, hold on. Let me give my bust real quick before we roll.
Well, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't care what you have to say.
So, I was going to go with Oregon, but there's another newcomer to the Big Ten that I had to go with instead. This team enjoys a lot of preseason hype all the time. They're very beloved by lots of people out west. Oh, yeah, everything's so cool, man. Well, it's not going to be cool. Well, it is going to be cool when you're playing games in late October and November. I think USC is going to be the biggest disappointment. And this comes with a little more, this comes with a little more weight than Illinois, because another season like last season, the Lincoln Riley's feet starts to get very, very warm. If he has another year like last year, and last year was wholly unacceptable with having the best quarterback in college football, the number one overall pick, that defense was absolutely atrocious. If they even lose, let's say, four games, looking at their schedule, you will see that that is absolutely possible. I was going over it earlier today. If they were to lose four games, that's not good. This is a team that has playoff aspirations, and you ain't making the playoff with four losses. Let's just put that out there right now. So I think that USC is set up for failure. You look at their schedule. Can you still hear me?
Want to run through that schedule real quick here?
Yeah.
Okay, so week one, LSU neutral site, Las Vegas. 2, Utah State. 3, at Michigan. 4, Wisconsin at home. Then they go to Minnesota. Then they have Penn State at home. They go to Maryland. They go cross country quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maryland on the road. Then Rutgers at home. 11 p.m. kick. Holy moly. They go to Washington. They have Nebraska at home, then UCLA in Pasadena, and then they close out the year with Notre Dame at home.
Does it sound like there are four losable games in that schedule?
That absolutely sounds like there's four losable games in that schedule.
So
and that cross-country Minnesota,
yeah,
back to L.A., back to Pennsylvania, back to L.A., that's a brutal
stretch. And listen, people are like, oh, they're just – USC is not a team that gets the liberty of just put a check mark next to a win when you're going down the schedule. And you're talking about, oh, we travel all the way to the opposite side of the country and then back. And then all the way to the opposite side of the country and then back. You don't just get to – USC is not the caliber of team that you just get to write down check marks next to, oh, well, it's Minnesota, check mark. Oh, well, it's Maryland, checkmark. Do I think they will win those games? Yes. But if you're asking me, is there a chance that there's a slip up and they lose one? Absolutely there is. You give me Rutgers goes, I know Rutgers goes to USC, but that's during the gauntlet of they're back, they're back, they're back. Rutgers is a good football team. It is 100% possible that this USC team, God forbid they lose five games, because all hell would break loose at that point. I'm telling you, I think when the season is over, people are going to be talking about, should Lincoln Riley still be the head coach at USC?
All right, now here's a question for you. If they finish with three losses, do they have a chance at the playoff?
It so depends on who the losses are to, but I would say
better question. What's the maximum amount of losses that they can have to guarantee a spot?
Two.
Two? Okay.
Yeah. If they only lose two games, they're in.
Okay.
Any Big Ten team that goes 10-2 in the regular season, you're in.
Okay.
You're in.
Interesting.
Which brings us to your boom.
Oh,
Which I feel like me and you might have the same thing here. You want to do it together?
Yeah.
Is what?
Man, if this just doesn't make you want to eat a meatball marinara sub, I don't know what does. Okay, I've been high on Rutgers for like 2 years now.
Correct.
It's like Purdue, Rutgers, we all hang out on the weekends and we talk about Lord knows what. And it's like, you know, these guys aren't bad. And then everybody's like, why do you hang out with those guys?
I go hang out with Minnesota and Nebraska and just get my nuts kicked in the entire time. And meanwhile, Alex is over hanging out with Northwestern, and they've thrown him into Lake Michigan.
Yeah, he's been sleeping with the fishes with the concrete boots. But anyway, so Kyle Manungai, top three Big Ten running back. Is that a hot take? No, it's not.
Are you looking for a disagreement? Because you could argue that he's the best.
I wouldn't argue he's the best, but he's definitely top three. He's one of the best and most respected running backs in the country. He's coming back. Rutgers needed to figure out the forward pass. They have a quarterback that has an arm that it can throw. Ethan Kaliak-Manis from Minnesota transfers over to Rutgers, and I think that he's going to have a better go because that there was things were not very – it was not a happy marriage with him, PJ Fleck, and Minnesota football.
Something happens to people when they're not coached by PJ Fleck anymore. They get good all of a sudden.
Sing us a song. You're the Shiano man. But that's not why. That's not why I'm all high on Rutgers. It's a part of the reason. Rutgers schedule. Howard at home. Akron. Then they go to Virginia Tech. That's a tough game. Washington at home. At Nebraska. That's a tough game. Wisconsin at home, UCLA at home, Rutgers at USC, Rutgers at home versus Minnesota. They go to Maryland. They have Illinois at home, and then they finish the year at Michigan State. So depending on how high you are on some of these middle-of-the-road teams and how high you are on Rutgers, this is a pretty favorable schedule. And Rutgers avoids all of the big dogs. No Michigan, no Ohio State.
No Oregon. Yeah.
None of that. They get a couple of the newcomers. They get UCLA in the middle of October. That doesn't really help them all that much. But they close out the year probably with one of their weaker stretches of games, Minnesota at Maryland, Illinois at home, and then they go to Michigan State. So
if they start 6-0, we're going to start having some number one, they will be ranked at that point in time.
They better
probably be they probably in the low teens. And they win? Yeah, probably in the low teens. You want to talk about a way that the Big Ten gets four teams in. Rutgers is the way to go because you're getting Ohio State in. They're, I believe, minus 650 to make the playoff. You're getting Oregon in, again, minus 600 to make the playoff. And then you're getting one of Michigan or Penn State in as well. I believe they're both hovering right around plus 140 or somewhere along those lines, 120 to make the playoff. So one of those two teams is getting in as well. And then you have, you've got Rutgers where if they go 10-2 with that schedule, they're in. They're in. You're not having a Big Ten team go 10-2 and not make the playoff. It's not happening.
Oh, boy. In a world. Man, look, let's just think about this for a second, okay? In a world where 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, Rutgers gets to go to a bowl game because a team has COVID.
Yeah, with five wins. Or with, not five wins. Yeah, it was.
It was five wins. They had five wins.
Okay.
They had five wins. And then 2 years later, under the Shiano man, they go to the college. They go to the inaugural 12-team college football playoff.
Yeah.
Them fellas in New Jersey, they better have free meatball subs for everybody because it's going to be a celebration.
I think there's... So we looked it up. This was on our show sheet. It was something that me and Corey looked up. They are plus 1,800 to make the playoff. Plus 1,800. Folks, if you're looking for a bargain basement price on a team to make the playoff, that is your team. 1,000% that is your team. If they have a quarterback who can move his feet and throw the ball forward, throw the forward pass, as Corey would say, this team is going to win. This team will win 8 games in their sleep. And it's about finding those other 2 games. Mm-hmm. So I say, just like I say a lot of times when you're taking the points and it's like a 4.5-point spread or a 3.5-point spread, you take 25% of it and you, what do? You sprinkle it on the money line, right? So in this situation, when you're betting the over for regular season wins for Rutgers, you take 25% of that money and you just go ahead and sprinkle it right on that plus 1,800 to make the playoff, baby. And when it happens, by the way, when it happens, you can come right back here, go into our comments and say, thank you, I won X amount of dollars because of this tip. That's all.
Bookmark it. Rutgers bookmark to the playoff. It's happening.
I'm just saying, they're a team that I believe is a shoe-in to win 8 games. I'm just asking them to get 2 more. 2 more. I need them to beat USC on the road. I need them to beat USC on the road. I need them to make that game look like when you're done watching it, you feel gross because of what you just watched. And somehow they won.
You need them to win 2 more. Howard's a win. Akron's a win. I believe Washington's a win. I think UCLA's a win. What's that? That's 4.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota's a win. Illinois's a win. That's 6. I guess we're so low on Michigan State, but that's the last game of the year. You want to give them a road win as they're locked in, because Wisconsin at home, Nebraska on the road, they go to Virginia Tech, and then they go to USC. You think the USC game is the key? If they can win that game, then
yeah. I also think they beat Ball Tech. I think that's a win.
A lot of people are high in Virginia Tech this year, though.
Yeah, they are. They are.
I think that tells us something.
Okay. I think that tells us it's time for Rutgers football.
Yeah, you're right. Now, we need to talk about this team, and it's not Michigan. We don't need to talk about Michigan. We don't need to talk about the defending national champions right now. Other than that one blurb, we need to talk about Penn State. This is bonus section. Okay. Like this is a
do or die.
If they don't make the playoff, Franklin's
goodbye.
Done, yeah. Right?
Goodbye. Yep.
Like he has to be done.
Unless somehow magically, we're talking about a magical world where they lose 2 games and don't get in, that if they go 10-2 and are like number 13, because a group of 5 team has to make it, but that's not happening. A 10-2 Penn State is getting in. So yes. Yeah. If they're 9-3, if they're 9-3 and they make the playoff, he stays. But what if they're 9-3, they make the playoff, they have to play a road game, and they get blitzed by somebody?
Yeah.
Just don't let it happen. Just don't James Franklin everything. James Franklin's everything. The last big game that they won was to block field goal during the whiteout against Ohio State. Or yeah. If you want to consider the whiteout against Michigan with Shea Patterson, if you want to call that a big win, but that wasn't a top 10 team.
That was also during a time where Jim Harbaugh didn't win big games.
And, correct.
And correct. If he won it, it means it wasn't a big game. Well, I guess
James Franklin is like Jim Harbaugh if Jim Harbaugh never started winning big games.
I saw it too.
4-20 something against top 10 teams.
Yeah. That's bad.
Yep. That cannot happen. Which is why I think to keep his job, he has to win a playoff game.
I think that's fair. I think at the very least he has to make the if he makes the playoff and he loses like a close one, okay.
Yeah.
I think he stays. But here, let's walk through this just one more time with this team, because this is a crucial year for Penn State. It's like their stars are aligning a little bit, but a little bit less than Ohio State's, right? Because Aller's coming back. They have Singleton. Is Katron Allen still there? He should be, right?
I believe so.
Both of them? They have both of those guys back.
Is Singleton the best back in the Big Ten?
I think Henderson has a...
something to say about that.
Henderson has something to say about it. And if it's a big game, it's Donovan Edwards. But that's beside the point. We're not talking about them. Penn State at West Virginia. Great game.
Yes. Noon kick. Yes. That's to kick off the season, correct?
That should be a win.
Is Penn State... I don't have the time to look up if they're favored in that game. I do believe they are.
Yeah.
Short favorite, but a favorite.
Bowling Green, win.
Mm-hmm.
Kent State, win. Mm-hmm. Illinois, at home, win. Mm-hmm. UCLA, at home, win. Mm-hmm. They go to USC.
Okay, we'll set that one to the side.
And then they go to Wisconsin.
I'm going to say that we're going to set it to the side. I will most likely move it into the win category, but I'd like to hear what's left.
Well, Ohio State's immediately after that. The toughest part of their schedule is the
3-week stretch.
Well, it's actually 4 because they've got a bye.
They get their bye in there. Okay.
So they play USC, they get a bye, they go to Wisconsin, and then they get Ohio State.
Okay, right, but see, oh, man, you want to talk about a trap game. You get a bye week and you go on the road to play Wisconsin right before you play Ohio State?
I think that plays in their favor.
Having the bye week beforehand?
Having the bye week before Wisconsin, because you can't overlook that game.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you're right. You could be right. Okay, anyways, go ahead.
And then the last 4 games of their schedule are all very winnable, if not wins already. They have Washington at home. They go to Purdue. They go to Minnesota, and then they close out with Maryland at home.
Mm. Their over-under was 9.5, correct?
It was.
Yeah. I mean, I see why, for sure, because it feels like it's either 9 or 10 wins for them.
I mean, their first 5 games should be wins.
Yeah. Yep.
And then their last their last 3 games should be wins.
If Wisconsin is who we think they can be, that game is going to have – that spread is going to be less than a touchdown for that game.
Yeah,
that spread
it probably should be.
Yeah, that spread's going to be less than a touchdown. So I'm not just going to give you a win on a game where I think the spread is going to be less than a touchdown.
In that 3-game stretch –
if they go 0-3, flaming butts. Like, James Franklin's butt is literally white hot.
They have to go 2-1.
Yeah, correct.
I think.
Well, not to make the playoff. They could go 1-2 and make the playoff.
But then they have to run the table in the final four.
Yeah, and they'll be panicking. They'll be panicking, and James Franklin's going to James Franklin.
Man,
you know what he is? He's a better version, which makes it more annoying. He's a better version of PJ Fleck. He's a more successful version of PJ Fleck.
Now I get it. Now I understand why there's so much
animosity.
Animosity there. It's because this is just PJ Fleck in the sheep's clothing. It's what James Franklin is.
He kind of is.
Now I get it.
It's ticking me off a little bit.
Yeah, you're very upset with this. Wow. Okay. Yeah, it's make or break for Penn State.
No doubt. Yeah, I think that the two coaches. Football? Yeah, of course. But I think the two coaches with the most to prove are going to be James Franklin. And I'm talking about upper echelon coaches, people. James Franklin and Lincoln Riley.
Oh, yeah. Can Lincoln Riley play defense? Can James Franklin not James Franklin? What the world may never know.
Really? Because he seems to James Franklin an awful, awful lot.
Oh, the worst amount of James Franklining.
Well, listen, people, we appreciate you. We thank you for listening. This has been another episode of Big Banter. We love you. We appreciate you. We want you to keep coming back all season long. Obviously, we are going to have weekly picks. That starts next week's episode. It's going to be a picks episode for week one. Buckle up, Buttercup. The season is upon us. Let's get this puppy rolling. Thank you very much. Corey, say goodbye to the people.
People, we love you. Year 4 of podcast. We're just getting started. We're back for the picks. We're back for it all. I'm ready to defend my crown. And we will see you next week.